Hello, and welcome to the Golden Hour podcast with your amazing host, Anna Gold. We hope you enjoy the conversation and learn something new. We have an amazing show planned for you today, and who knows, we might play a game or two. Ladies and gentlemen, without further delay, here she is, the amazing Anna Gold.
Okay, everyone, welcome to the Golden Hour. My guest today is Sandy Gulliver. She is an actress in Chicago. She is a helper of actors and everyone in the entertainment industry. Welcome, Sandy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It's an honor and a pleasure. I know that you started out not acting. What did you do first before your career began?
Well, I was a flight attendant for 33 years with United Airlines.
Oh, wow.
And then for the 18 years of that, towards the end, the last 18 years of it, I also had my own business, which was publishing a sweepstakes newsletter.
Oh, cool. Sweepstakes as in competitions?
They're like random drawing sweepstakes by beer companies, cereal companies, gas stations, anything that you see the drop boxes around, you put your name in, you hope to get drawn and you win nice prizes.
Oh, nice. Oh, so you were helping people from the start. Part of the things that Sandy does, which makes you very valuable in the entertainment industry, Sandy, one of the things, folks, that Sandy does is that she harnesses list of castings going in and around Chicago, and this woman finds everything. You, ma'am, are the queen of like finding acting work, and I don't really know how you do it and how you collectively pull all of these acting notices, like casting notices, from everywhere. Can you tell us how you do it? But if you don't want to share your secret, that's okay.
It's okay, just because most of the reason I do it is because most people don't have the time or the inclination to go around looking at all these different places, which I just constantly am online all day long. I'm totally addicted to it. Check all the places at least once a day and take what's there and post it on my page. And so I don't go to like paid acting pages like Actors Access or Backstage or Casting Networks. Take their stuff. But if it's on Facebook, every casting agency has a Facebook page. Independent filmmakers all have Facebook pages.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Whatever I see, I grab that and put it on my page. So it's like one-stop shopping. And the place that most people don't go at all, but I find things regularly, is Craigslist.
Oh, that's right. That is an option. I used to go myself on Craigslist to look for work, but it turns out that I guess I should ask this question, Sandy. How do you differentiate between the good ads and the bad ads and make sure that you filter out people who are creepy on Craigslist?
If I have even the slightest feeling that it's going to be a creeper, I pass it. And they're usually pretty obvious. They don't give enough information. Just something like, I'm looking for an actress for Saturday afternoon. No, no experience is necessary. And I said, and the pay is usually higher than it should be.
Okay. So what they want is probably not an actress, but they're posing it as such.
Exactly.
Those rats, those dirty, dirty rats.
Yeah.
But Sandy, yes, thank you for doing that for us collectively as a group of actors in Chicago. We thank you because your lists are very vital and really help people to see what's out there. And like, for example, if one has a day job, then it's difficult to constantly be checking the trades when you should be at work on, you know what I mean? And I've gotten reprimanded at many jobs for trying to look for acting work while I'm at work. So it's nice that you cultivate that list and it's there for us. And can you tell us, please, As an Actor in Chicago, what it's called, your list, and how to find it?
Yeah, it's on Facebook. It's just called Sandy Gulliver's Casting Notifications or Notices. I forget exactly what it's called.
Okay.
Gulliver's Casting Alerts.
Sandy Gulliver's Casting Alerts. Thanks, Sandy. And so now you did get started in acting at, if you don't want to say your age, it's okay, but I'd say probably later than your 20s. How did you manage to get in transitioning from another career? What was it that you did, and what were your first steps that you took?
Well, I'm 75 now. And okay. I've been doing this for 20 years.
Oh, good for you.
Or maybe 22 years. I don't want to do the math right now, but I quit United just after September 11th because, United went bankrupt.
Oh. And
I was already getting a little older. I was in my 50s. And they offered all of those that were kind of getting there anyway toward retirement. An out. The out was that if we quit before they filed bankruptcy, that we could continue on with our original benefits and our original pension.
Oh, I see.
So quite a few of us did.
Oh, that's clever. That's smart.
It was a good thing at the time. And then right away, they turned right around and convinced the bankruptcy judge to forget everything. And so we lost our pension, and our benefits were not as good as they were. And the government took over our pension. There's a program, I forget what it's called. I think it was started back when some other companies did the same thing, and the government said this can't be, and they've created this program. It's four initials, I forget what they are, but they would pay our pension up to $35,000 a year.
Wow.
Which more than covered mine.
That's great.
But a lot of the pilots fell for it too.
Oh, and no.
Their pensions were supposed to be like $85,000 a year. So they only got $35,000 a year.
Oh, geez. That stinks in the end for them. That's not fair. But
now that United is back making all kinds of money, they're not doing anything about us. They're just glad we're long gone and hopefully forgotten about it.
Oh, no. Is there any way that you could file suit or join collectively with the other people to, I don't know.
So long now. It's been over 20 years that people have just kind of given up on it. There's groups on pilot groups and flight attendant groups and retiree groups, and nothing's ever come of it.
Oh, rats. Well, I hope that United does something about it. I won't let them sponsor my show until they fix this. So there, United. Well, if I could also boycott them and just not fly for them too. But anyway, that's not what this show is about. This show is about acting, and we're going to talk to the lovely Sandra Gulliver about how she got into acting from being a flight attendant. How did you transition from stewardess to actress? What was it like, and what were your first jobs, would you say?
Well, having just kind of been thrown out into the wild of retirement, I had no plans whatsoever.
Oh.
And I didn't know what I was going to do, and I kind of got depressed for about a year, didn't leave the house much.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, that's pretty typical, though. I know my husband, when he retired, he went through the same thing.
And did he?
He was just like a traveling salesman, not just. I don't want to turn off your...
Oh, I know what you mean, but you're saying that was his career, and I'm sure that retirement probably would throw a person into... It's so different to not be doing something, to not be regularly active in life, that it's probably confusing. Like, what do I do now? what happens next? So, so after the year that you spent figuring things out, what happened next? How did you end up going on to your first casting call?
That was so weird because I got a flyer in the mail from an agent casting mm-hmm. agent. And it could very well have been a scam, but I called them and they had me come in for an interview, and it wasn't a scam.
Oh, cool.
Although the agency wasn't a big, major agency, he did get me a job right away.
Nice. So was it a talent agent or a casting agent or a...
A talent agent.
Cool. That's super. That's really nice.
Yeah. The only thing is it was for a background.
Mm-hmm.
So my very first job was background on a Nicolas Cage movie. I forget the name of it.
Oh, neat. And that was sometime in, like, did you say 2001 or 2000?
Yeah, in the early 2000s.
Okay. Oh, that's nice.
And then while I was on set that day, actually in holding that day, because you spend most of your time as a background actor sitting and holding.
Oh, yeah. That's just where you're waiting for them to call you. For those that are listening that don't know yet, I guess... being an extra and even being an actress is a lot of waiting, like waiting for the lighting setup to be ready for you to shoot. So essentially when you were in holding or waiting, what did you do?
I was talking to the other background actors, and they're a chatty group and they're very
yes. friendly. They are usually.
I learned all the ropes from them. And the first thing I learned is for background, you don't need an agent.
Oh.
At the time, it was word of mouth.
Oh. Because
we didn't have Facebook and all the casting groups. Like right now, all the background casting agencies have a Facebook page, and they put out what they need. And then you submit if it fits your demographic and hope to get called. Well, back then, you just had to know who the agencies were. And then... get on their roster and then hope they called you.
Oh, okay. So that's how it was done before Facebook. So then how did you transition from the Nicolas Cage movie as an extra into a speaking part as an actress? Like, what was that like, that transition?
Well, I did the background for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
And I never got tired of it. I loved being on set.
It is fun. It is a lot of fun.
I love being around the people, and the only thing is, I got the itch to be in the front row.
I know that itch, yeah. That's fun.
So I started taking acting classes, and I got a good headshot, and then...
Oh, good. Where did you get your headshots from?
That first one was an outfit that has since started a talent agency.
Oh, but have
in the
they?
Beginning, they just were a photographer.
Uh-huh.
And Papadakis Photography in Barrington.
Okay. And I feel like I've heard that name because that's such a rare and unique name, you know.
And they didn't have it at the time, but since then they opened up an agency, a talent agency called Bravo Talent Management.
Ah.
And it was a really good headshot. I liked it a lot.
Oh, cool.
And then the acting classes. My very first acting class was with a man named Ted Sarantos in Oak Park. He was one of the original acting coaches in Chicagoland. He back before Goodman Theater, there was the Goodman, the DePaul School of Theater, I believe it was, or acting. I forget how that all transitioned, but he had something to do with that.
Oh, cool. So from there, you began acting in different roles and whatnot. And I must say, you are a non-union actress, right? That means that you haven't joined the Actors Guild?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, Sandy does really nice work, by the way, everybody. How did you manage not to join the union? And I suppose, why don't you want to join the union? What are the advantages of being non-union?
Yeah. Well, in Chicago, it's beneficial to not be in the union because most of the work here is non-union.
Ah, okay.
So once you're in the union, you can't do that work unless there's some sort of a special voucher. They are waiver.
Mm-hmm.
I think they call it. They will allow for union actors to do ultra low budget, which means if the budget is under $20,000, you can work on it. Most SAG actors don't want to work on those because they're independent student films, that sort of thing.
Okay. So it's more in a market like Chicago, would you say that it's more advantageous to not join the union unless you're a star on Chicago Fire or something?
Yeah, if you have a recurring role on Chicago Fire, you should definitely want to be in the union. You have to be in the union.
Yeah, after so long, I think they make you. I'm pretty sure that they give you an exception for a length of time, but then you have to join, must join, I think, right?
3 credits. That's the 3rd credit. Even before you walk on set, you have to join the union.
Okay. Well, they do have some benefits. I'm not in them yet, but, you know, when I join, I will join. And I'm happy for you, though, Sandy. You get a lot of work, and some of what you've done is in your reel. I know you've done a lot more than what's in there, but I saw something on your reel that was kind of nice. It's a role of you being a diner, a waitress diner. Wait, did I say that correctly? Hold on. A diner and a waitress. Yes, there you are. No. So I love the way that you
were talking about when I was the homeless lady in the other diner scene.
Oh, you were. Yeah, that was a good scene too. But my favorite role that you have on your reel is a role that I feel like you play it with quiet indifference. Like you're just like, I don't know how to describe this, but the reason I like you playing a waitress at the diner and you asking those two ladies, you know, about their business is you're just quietly indifferent. Just like, I don't know. It almost looks like you're not, your character is not as sharp as she could be, but she's funny somehow. Can you tell us about that project? I just liked seeing it on your reel.
That started out as a, not my acting class, but an acting class that those two women were taking together with Sarah, mm-hmm. Casey of Compass Casting. Mm-hmm. And Sarah wrote that scene for the two of them, and they did it so well in class that she said, God, that needs to be a movie.
Oh, cool.
And so they, and would you be interested in doing it to them? And they said, yes, but we really want Sandy to be in on it too.
Oh. So
Sarah wrote a role for me in it, to, you know, because they were driving across country.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you always have to stop and have lunch.
Yes.
And that's where I came in.
That was great. You played it really well. What's your next role? Do you have anything else coming up?
I just got offered a role in a short film, and I am playing the mother of one of the main characters, which is generally the type of roles I play, the mother of the main character. Not so much grandma roles, but mother of adult people.
Okay.
And that one is by Derek Brosh and Nina Trader. They're a married couple, and they do a lot of short films. And I just got offered it based on meeting him in person at a networking event. And, of course, he's seen my reel, and he offered it to me.
Oh, that's nice, Sandy. That's great, actually. Doesn't networking make a lot of sense?
It's one of the things I wholeheartedly endorse and try to do as much as I can. The pandemic set us way back.
I know. I remember. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to speak over you. What did you say?
I said, now I'm scared to go anywhere.
Yeah, it did. It did really keep me inside for a while. And I think I feel like I just started networking again within the last 6 months, networking in person. And it's nice to be able to go out in the post-pandemic world. It seems almost like a treat to talk to people, doesn't it? Like in person?
Mm-hmm.
It's It's so nice.
Party, the acting Christmas party that we saw each other at recently. Mm-hmm. My first time out in a long time where I actually didn't have a mask on.
Doesn't it feel nice? Like, doesn't it feel free?
And then you go home and you wait 5 days, counting the days.
Oh, is that what you do?
I wait because if it's going to show up, it's going to show up in about 5 days.
Oh, that's helpful, actually. Yeah. What you're saying is that a person doesn't see symptoms for a while, and that that's why you wait and make sure that you're well, and you go out again if you feel better.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Oh, Sandy, by the way, what is the name of the movie in which you play the diner waitress?
Oh, it's called Killing Irma.
Killing Irma. And where can we see that?
It's nowhere at this point. I don't know if they plan on ever streaming it on Amazon or Tubi. Mm-hmm. But it just finished up on the festival circuit. So as it was in the festival circuit, they weren't letting the public see it. You had to actually go to a festival.
Yes, I know how that works. It's very... how do you say, it's very restricted. It's unfortunate for the rest of us who want to see it, but I hope that we can see the whole project soon, because I thought
that it would just now be put on a shelf.
Oh, good. Well, keep us all posted, and if you know where it's available, when it's available, let me know, and I'll post it on my Facebook page. And as for you, are you going to any networking events soon, or do you plan to do any, I don't know, where can we find you? Where can the average person who wants to hire you find Sandy Gulliver?
Well, there's my website. Mm-hmm. It has all the information, and basically it's just sandygulliver.com.
Okay.
That has my contact information. It has my reel where they can watch the little clip that you're talking about.
Oh, yes. You're great in everything, with so many different roles that you can play. I'm impressed by this, because I feel, Sandy, as though you are certainly not typecast. You're very just versatile. And I like this. As an actress myself, I'm like, wow, how can I have such versatility as she does? It's nice. It's like such a great trait. And I feel like it probably gets you cast in more things, you know?
Yeah. I like doing the ones that are really characters that you don't, like the homeless lady in the diner. That was all ad-libbed. I just became a homeless lady with dementia.
Oh, cool. That's neat. Yeah, you did well in that too. I'm like, whoa, she's really scarfing that food down. Cool. That was a good character trait, like the way you were eating the food, that seemed appropriate. But everyone, you guys have to go to, it's sandygulliver.com, correct? The website?
Yes.
In order to hire Sandy for more work, or to view the work that she's done already. And I must say that Sandy is quite entertaining. So, Sandy, now we're going to play a game. We play a game at the end of each podcast episode. And today's game, folks, is Two Truths and a Lie. So what this is Sandy has given me three sets of two truths and a lie, in which I have to guess which are the two truth things and which is the lie that Sandy is telling me. So the first set is about Sandy's high school career.
Right.
Sandy has said these three things in a list, and I'm going to guess which one is the lie. So, one, Sandy played a maid in her senior high school play. Two, Sandy was a cheerleader in senior high school. Or three, Sandy played bass clarinet in the high school band. Okay, my guess, Sandy, is that you did not play bass clarinet in the high school band. Is that the lie?
That's the truth. I did play
bass. Oh, rats.
I played clarinet in band. But I was also a flag twirler for the marching band. So in that case, they gave me the bass, switched me to bass clarinet because bass clarinet doesn't march. It's too big.
Uh-huh.
So I played bass clarinet after that, and then was the flag twirler. So maybe you're right. Did I say I played bass in the marching band or the high school band?
You said, so there's one lie out of these three statements. With this statement, you said, I played bass clarinet in the high school band.
I did.
You did. Okay, so that is true. Sandy did play bass clarinet. Mm-hmm. The other two choices are you were a cheerleader in high school or you were a maid in a high school play. Okay, I'm going to guess that the lie is that you were the maid in the high school play. I'm going to guess that you did not actually play a maid.
And you'd be wrong.
What? Again? Yeah. How am I wrong about this? Well, fine. Then I guess, so the lie, can you tell us which the lie is?
Yeah, that I was not a cheerleader.
Oh, rats. I could totally see you as a cheerleader. I was. Did you say that you could too?
Of course. I lived and died to be a cheerleader my whole growing up years. And then when I didn't get it, I was just devastated, and I still am to this day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know, if it's any consolation to you, I was a cheerleader myself in junior high school, not in senior high school. And the rehearsals are pretty strenuous, like physically. I felt like they were way too long and we did way too much. And also, some of the girls can be mean. It depends. They can be catty. But so think of it like this. You missed those two things. You missed your body hurting the next day and then having to go to another rehearsal the next night, even though you hurt. You missed that. And you also missed catty behavior. So there you go. Those are two advantages that you have to not having been a cheerleader. I hope that helps.
Yeah, I'm going to take your word for it.
But you are, in the moral sense, Sandy, a good cheerleader of folks in the industry. And I like this. And that's why you're on my show. I like having you. So thank you. So we're going to do the other ones really quick. The next two sets. Sandy has a dinner date in 5 minutes. So, okay. So the next set of two truths and a lie is, after high school, Sandy worked an 8-hour shift as a telephone operator and paid her parents $65 a month in rent to live at her home. Two, while working as a flight attendant for United Airlines, she also had a part-time job as a counselor, an ad counselor on the Chicago Tribune. Three, in the early 1970s, Sandy worked the MAC, Military Airlift Command charters, transporting soldiers back and forth to serve their duties in Vietnam. Okay, let's see here. I'm going to guess that the lie in this career realm is that after high school, each day you worked a shift as a telephone operator and you paid your parents $65 a month to live at home. That's not true.
Oh, how I wish it were so.
But oh, darn it. Which is the lie then of all these things?
The MAC charter one.
Oh, okay.
Kind of did have the MAC charters, but I did not work them.
Oh, okay. So what were those again, the MAC charters?
Oh, the government commissioned the airlines to give up some of their airplanes, including mm-hmm. the crew, to take the soldiers back and forth to Vietnam
and oh.
Thailand, oh. all those places. And you had to, in order to fly overseas back then, you had to be able to swim.
Oh, really?
And so I couldn't work them because I couldn't swim.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Oh, in case the plane were to crash land in the water.
You have to be able to kind of be able to get to the raft.
Oh, that makes sense logically. Yeah, that's, oh gosh. All right, so the last set of three truths and a lie, two truths and a lie. This is in regards to Sandy's hobbies and interest, and the statements are as follows. I have to guess the lie. So the statements are, Sandy likes to enter sweepstakes, and she has won 5 cars over the years. What? Holy cow. That would be great if that were true. Oh my gosh, 5 cars. What? Okay, lady. And then we have number 2. Sandy has performed in Oliver as Mrs. Bedwin and in Mary Poppins as the Bird Lady. Number 3. Sandy's favorite musical is A Chorus Line. I'm going to guess that the lie is 3, that your favorite musical is Chorus Line.
That is the truth. I've seen it about 30 times.
Oh, wow. You really like it then.
Yeah, I like it.
So then which one is the lie?
That I never performed a solo in any musical theater. Any musical theater I did, I was always ensemble.
Okay, so you never were Mrs. Bedwin in Oliver, and you never were the Bird Lady in Mary Poppins?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I have to get better at this game. Actually, I don't play it with my guests often unless they request it like you did, but I like it. It's a lot of fun. And now maybe it will help me to decipher the truth better in real life, you know? Put it into practice, right? Well, Sandy, that's all for today. It's been lovely having you as my guest. Thank you so much. You are so gracious. And everyone, this has been Sandy Gulliver. You may find her at sandygulliver.com if you wish to hire her or talk to her more about her career. Any compliments always helps an actress feel better about herself and her work. So right on, Sandy. Thank you for being a part of this.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you again soon, okay?
All right. Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Golden Hour podcast with your host, Anna Gold. We invite you to come back next time for more laughs, fascinating guests, and most importantly, movie trivia. Think of her next time you watch The Sunset or chug a V8. Don't forget to find her on Instagram and take a peek at her profile on IMDb. Until next time, stay golden.